Well, you are listening to the North Peace Roundtable podcast, episode 50.
Woo woo!
Wow.
The year
Air horns go off.
I'm going to try and connect every episode number to a biblical thing. Last year, you missed it. It was the episode of double perfection.
Last week?
Did I say last year?
Yeah.
Last week.
Okay.
7 times 7, 49, double perfection. So you missed that
double
one.
Perfection.
And episode
double
50.
Double perfection, what does it mean?
So thanks for tuning in. My name's Andrew. With me today is Corland.
Hello, hello.
And Cameron.
Good morning, everyone.
And if you are new to the podcast, we like to talk about the Bible and theology and doctrine, what it means to follow Jesus. And usually we take, you know, a question or a topic each week and just kind of hash it out. And then we do some fun segments as well, like reacting to different video clip or audio clips and taking some verses out of context and things like that. So it's going to be a good episode. Cam, I'm going to let you intro the question that we have today because it kind of came through you.
Yeah. So a good question that was presented to a friend from a friend through my wife, actually. And this person asked, being relatively new to Fort St. John and knowing that we are Christians, said, does it matter which church I go to? Does it matter in the context of Fort St. John, just driving around, seeing different buildings, seeing different churches? Does it make any difference which one I go to? Don't they all have universal truth? Like, don't, if I just walk into one, won't I arrive at the same spot, essentially? And a very fair question, one that I have heard poised a few different ways, and I think it's one that confuses a lot of people, because I think that religion as a whole can just be grouped into one pile, and someone could say, well, I think I should be religious, or in this person's case, you know, there may have been grandparents or someone along the way.
Sure.
And they don't quite remember which direction they were being pointed in, so this person might just open the door of a church one day, walk in, and think that that is the option or the truth that's available, and they're all the same.
Right.
So I think it would be good for us to just to unpack a little bit, even in our local geographic context of Fort St. John, for a person that could be wondering, where should I go?
Yeah.
And I will do a cheap plug for North Peace MB Church.
Yeah, I've heard of this great little church.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Speaking of that, so that's funny. This is a total aside, but I was having lunch with our denomination, MB denomination, the director for BC. He was up here a few days ago. And so we had lunch at a restaurant, and at the end, the waitress was just kind of like, you know, what are you guys doing for the rest of the day? You know how they always ask that. Big plans for today? We're like, nope. And then Rob was like, yeah, this guy, he's the pastor at North Peace Church. You should go. He is awesome. And I'm sitting there like, oh, man.
One of those guys.
Like, just please don't do that. And you can tell the waitress was like, oh, cool. Like, please just tap your card. So that I it was pretty funny. So that's a great question. And I think there's like a few ways you could go, right? Because it's like, that's a common thing. Don't all religions or faith views, I mean, they're all pretty similar, right? We're all trying to get to God, and there's just, I remember Oprah famously talked about that, like, you know, there's the mountain and God's at the top, and
there's all these different paths.
We're all trying to get the same thing. So aren't different religions, and then you could even break it down, different denominations, and aren't we all just, it's basically the same. It's just slight variations getting to the same.
Some different scenery, but.
Yeah, same destination.
Yeah.
So that's a really good question to answer. Is that true? Are all faith worldviews pretty much the same? And then the question would be, how do you even know that Christianity is true, right? If it's just kind of one of multiple options, then how do you know that, you know, Jesus and the Bible and Christianity and what we believe, how do you know that that's actually true if it's just one option of many? So I don't even know where to...
Well, it's interesting that you mentioned that kind of metaphor of the mountain range, because growing up, I had heard something similar and had heard it more around the denominational kind of view within the Christian body, within the the Christian church. Because I had questions too between, you know, like Anglican and different types of and Lutheran and different types of churches within this umbrella that we would call Christianity. Mm-hmm. And it was not presented in a way where it was like, well, it was presented because I was in a Christian, a non-denominational church, which is kind of funny too, because it was like, we just want to do our own thing, man. Like, we just, we're not going to
yeah.
attach ourselves to a system of thinking and believing that is organized. I don't know if that's offensive to anyone listening, but since when?
Just be fluid, man.
Since when have I cared? just be real, man. But, I gravitated as an adult towards the MB actually down in Abbotsford, just because I really appreciated the structure of the teaching and the organization of the belief. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until I was an adult, having grown up in the Christian church, that I was able to make that decision, because you look at it and you're like, that is what I believe. And there are things that I had to wrestle through and try to better understand about God. And so when this person asks a question like this, it's really difficult, even for myself sometimes, to think of how would I respond to that. Mm-hmm. Generally, you just want to invite people into your system of thinking and believing. But I know that there are other good churches in the community who do believe very similarly to the way we do here at the North Peace MB, but express that worship a little bit differently.
Sure.
But back to the metaphor, like, there are religions and belief systems that don't point to God, and that yes. don't point to the idea of a universal Savior, a God that is all merciful and forgiving and powerful. There are many that point to yourself, to the power within you, that, you know, be your own mm-hmm. kind of God. You have the ability within you, and then there's religions that point towards other savior figures. And so I would call that a mountain range, and those are mountains you don't want to be climbing, because mm-hmm. We obviously believe that there is one God, one true God, and one way mm-hmm. to express that, or to follow God.
Yeah, so maybe a good place to start would be like different religions, and then we can kind of zoom in onto, okay, what do you do with Lutheran, Catholic, Protestant, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. Specifically the umbrella of Christianity, that, if that's the right term.
Sure.
Because I think, a lot of people assume, like, well, all religions pretty much teach the same thing, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I even, this was years ago, there was some event, and I sat at the table with the Islamic, I think they're called imams, mm-hmm. like pastor, their yep. version of a pastor. And we talked, and he basically agreed with so much of, yeah, we believe in Jesus. And it was kind of like, oh, interesting. Yeah, he was a great prophet. Mm-hmm. But great where all of a sudden, where we kind of, yeah, he was the son of God. Ooh, time out. Like, No. He was on, you know, Muhammad is a great prophet too. Mm-hmm. Jesus was a great prophet, on par with Muhammad. But so I think a lot of people look at religions and they kind of go, well, aren't they all?
There's so many similarities that, like.
Yeah, and there's so many parallels, and like, sure, you disagree on. But I would say, when I've studied different like religions and whatever you want to call the big ones, like, you know, Islam, Hinduism,
Judaism,
all these kind of different ones, and then Christianity. Essentially, Christianity, yeah, sure, there's parallels where you go, yeah, there's similarities, but the main difference is every other religion is, here's what you need to do in order to somehow earn
sure.
eternal life, or, I mean, Buddhists don't believe in heaven, it's just kind of the nirvana, but mm-hmm. here's what you need to do in order to, like, check the box, like, mm-hmm. And Christianity is the exact opposite, almost. It's like, here's what Jesus has done. You just need to believe in him, mm-hmm. and it's taken care of. And yes, see, but we do say, like, and you need to obey Jesus and follow him, but mm-hmm. that doesn't earn your salvation. That doesn't, mm-hmm. you don't earn anything.
Yeah.
And every other religion that I've studied so far is like, here's what you need to do, and man, hopefully you've done enough at
to appease the wrath of God.
And they have different versions. Like I said, Buddhism is not, there is no God in Buddhism. It's just the universe. But you are earning to eventually get to nirvana. Yeah. And then you kind of just get to exist in this. It's heaven, essentially. Mm-hmm. But they just don't call it heaven. So it's interesting that really I heard one guy say there's actually only two religions in the world. It's like a religion by works or a religion by faith. And so there's not, like, sure, there's similarities, but... That's a massive difference between being a Jesus follower and every other worldview, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that would be a good place to start, to go, no, we're not all going up the same or different paths on the same mountain. Like these are, like you said, some these are completely different mountains, right?
I find it so interesting with the language around, like, I imagine just the way it's structured, the sentence of like, well, aren't all religions leading to the same path? Like, don't they all lead? Like, I imagine it's out of an attempt to respect everybody and show respect to everybody. But I would say it disrespects all other religions because you're not telling the truth. They don't all claim to lead to God, right? Like, they all claim that they may have God in or a God in their religion or in their religious beliefs, but they don't all claim to lead to him. Like, that's not the final reward, right? Like, right. Christianity would be the only one where we are back walking with God and in his presence and stuff. Mm-hmm. So there it's kind of a disservice to all those. If you think you're being respectful, I would challenge that thought and just say, like, well, you're kind of not telling the truth about that, because you're claiming something about those religions that is just not true. And if you want to respect them for what they are, you can't say that about them, because you'd be saying something wrong.
Yeah. And I think it could be too, like, our, you know, postmodern world that we live in over here, the idea of like, well, no one can say that they have the truth. You just have a version of truth.
And
it could be related to that. Like, yeah, all religions are true, right? Because we just don't, as soon as you say that, like, no, this is true, then you're just viewed as, well, you're being arrogant, because no one can say that they have the corner on truth, right? Mm-hmm. But even logically, like, if you got, like, a Muslim and a Hindu priest and a Buddhist and a Jew and a Christian on a stage, like, you can't all be right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right? That's that, and no one likes to hear that, but... 4 out of the 5 of you have to be wrong. Mm-hmm. Like, and that's not offensive or arrogant. It's just true. Like, when you're dealing with worldviews that are so different in a lot of ways, we can't say, like, well, you're all right. That's just that's just foolishness.
It wouldn't
make
sense.
Four of you have to be wrong, right? When you're giving such different worldviews. And like I said, sure, there's similarities. Like, yeah. Muslims believe that there's only one God. Okay, we believe that there's only one God.
Yeah.
Hindus believe that there's millions of gods. So we go, okay, well, there's a big, pretty big difference. But sure, there's similarities, right? And, you know, Jews believe that there's one God. But that doesn't mean that, okay, we're all right then. It's like, well, no, someone's wrong.
And I think that, you know, the question... often is asked more in just ignorance, because it is so confusing and overwhelming for someone who's just floating through. And like I said, this example of someone just remembering their grandparents, maybe taking them to a church as a child. And so where do I go today? And I think that part of how we can help people who are searching, because we can, aside from just grabbing them by the hand and bringing them here and hoping for the best, but to talk about how we view our God, and to talk about what makes the God of the Bible and the God that we believe in unique, so that when they are on their quest, their search, we should be praying that God does reveal himself to them in a way, like I say all the time, that they can't deny, in a way that reveals truth to them. But if we continuously talk about our God, when they hear that narrative said differently, it's going to conflict. It should conflict. And that's only based on, not only based on, but heavily based on relationship. And we can have, and that's, it ties back into our whole focus on evangelism or multiplying, or just being comfortable sharing what we believe. Because I think that, I don't know, truth is kind of, it's kind of funny. There's not all truth, but it's all truth. It's all true to those who are sitting there and in it. So it's a really difficult conversation to have with someone mm-hmm. without the Holy Spirit doing yeah. unique work. Because yeah. to intellectually convince someone that the way they've been brought up in or the way that they believe is not true.
Yeah.
It does sound completely arrogant, even if we are convinced that, you know, the God that we believe in is mm-hmm. is the way.
Yeah.
Without something miraculous happening there, it's really difficult. Aside from some stories that you hear of people doing hard research, I think of a couple examples. I remember one, a Muslim person actually converting to Christianity, having just really done a lot of homework and a lot yeah. of soul searching. And there was another book written by a, I don't remember now, it's escaping me, a journalist, I think, in Seattle.
Oh, Lee Strobel.
Yeah.
Yeah, The Case for Christ, The Case for God. Yeah.
Right. And I thought that was pretty yeah. cool, how it was like, I just got to figure this out, right? Yeah. And he just went on his own journey and found, arrived at a point still that required faith and just yeah. that faith and to say that, okay, I've kind of followed every trail and I'm left with this realization that there's something greater than yeah. than what's in front of me. And I think that's pretty cool.
It's really interesting, the conversation around finding a religion or like you said, an individual not knowing which way to turn, because the way our culture, especially in North America, talks about religion and religious activities, it's almost more of a finding oneself than it is finding a system of belief. Like you'd find yourself and where you would sit in that system of belief, right? And so it's interesting because offense happens then, right? If you state truth and someone doesn't agree, it feels like a personal attack rather than recognizing that someone may just be stating facts about their belief system, right?
Right.
So I think that it's important, like you said, to present the gospel in relationship and let the Holy Spirit do his work when you're in a situation where somebody's asking a question like that, because you grabbing them by the hand and dragging them to your specific church may not be what God has planned for them to come to him.
But I think that's where testimony comes in too. Like,
yeah.
Cause you know, we all have this unique story that yeah. actually is used to, and we're taught that that's used to invoke this, desire for someone else to explore yeah. how that worked for
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
And I think that is what's unique about Christianity, even through the Bible, because we see it transcend so many different people groups. We mm-hmm. see it transcend so many belief systems and geographical parts of the old ancient world and even in today's world. And I think that is a primary uniqueness amongst Christianity, yeah. is just that it's different in that a lot of other world religions are primarily made up of folks who are in that space geographically
mm-hmm.
or they're born into that, where we're seeing less and less folks born into Christianity in yep. in 2021 and finding it. I think that's a unique difference also.
Sorry, while you were talking, I thought of it. This kind of topic, I just wanted to plug a book. If people are like, I like to read, mm-hmm. Great book about different religions, is called God Is Not One, The 8 Rival Religions That Run the World, by Stephen Prothero. He's not a Christian. Mm. He's the professor of religion at Boston University, but he's not a believer, like not a Christian. So it's written from a non-Christian perspective, but the basic thesis of this book is, like, he says, stop saying all religions are the same. And he goes through Islam, Christianity, Confucianism, Hinduism, Buddhism, Yoruba religion, Judaism, and Taoism. And he basically unpacks all of them and he says, they are so different. And so God Is Not One by Stephen Prothero, great book and I love that it's from a non-Christian perspective. He's not saying, like, they're all wrong because I'm a Christian. He's like, I'm a professor and I've studied all of these religions. They could not be more different.
Yeah,
so right. Anyways, I just thought of that while you were talking. So the question then, okay, so you can say, you know, Islam, Hinduism, Buddhism, like, they're not all right. They're not all leading to God. Then the question becomes, like, how do you know? Like, we're all Christians. We're all followers of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And the question that could be is, like, why do you think Christianity is right? And I think a lot of people believe, like, Well, you just kind of trust and believe in by faith, and no one really knows. And it's interesting. I don't know if you guys have you ever watched. I think you have, Cam. Religulous by is that Bill Maher?
Yeah,
Bill Maher. Bill Maher. But he goes through trying to just completely destroy Christianity by saying, "Look, it's clearly made up. Mm-hmm. There's all of these parallels," and he talks about, you know, other religions that have the exact same Horus and Mithras mm-hmm. and Dionysus. They're all Christ figures. Christianity just borrowed.
It's just one of them.
Well, they would say like Christianity just stole these ideas sure. from other things. And so then you go, well, how do you know, right? We're all sitting here and we all believe that Christianity is the way. How do we, is it just kind of like, I hope it's right.
A holy hoping for the best.
Right. Because I remember watching that and just being like, huh. You know, he talks about, did you know that, I wrote down an example. Did you know that Horus, which is an ancient Egypt hero,
yeah.
he was born of a virgin on December 25th. He was born in a manger. This is in the Egyptian writing. Three kings followed a star to come visit him at his birth. He was a 12-year-old child teacher. He was baptized in a river by Anup, who was later beheaded. He had 12 disciples. Horus was crucified, and 3 days later, he rose from the dead. Mm-hmm. So Bill Maher would say,
it's the same.
You guys just stole ideas from older religions. So
right.
I remember, and the Christians that he's interviewing are kind of like, well, we just have faith that
sure.
So how do you even for you question. Guys, how do you, is it just a, I hope it's right? I think it's right.
No, there's examples throughout scripture and even like during the Exodus narratives, during, even in Acts, you know, magicians that are doing similar works to, yeah. Moses, like right alongside like snake, staffs into snakes, and I think that the difference is obviously the resurrection of Jesus and yeah. the ascension, the gift of the Holy Spirit, which is evidenced through the early church in a number of ways. But that is the uniqueness of that Christian narrative that doesn't, that is not replicated even amongst Horus. So there are similar narratives, but I think that when we read in scripture, and that is some of the as we touched on last week or the week before, the necessity for some of the miraculous in the moment then to grab the attention of folks, because in and of itself, those miracles would not necessarily have been unique because of witchcraft and other things that were happening. But what made them the Christian miracles unique is that they were selfless in many ways, where mm-hmm. we're looking at, you know, forgiveness of sins and adding that the forgiveness of sins with a miracle, that it wasn't so much the healing that made people stop and say, wow, that's unique. It's the, who is this Jesus that's also forgiving sins after this act? Mm. And I think that it's difficult to explain, but when you look at it through those parallels, but just to say, yeah, Christianity is unique in its works in the Bible, it's like, well, not really, because yeah. we're seeing actually even throughout scripture other cultures doing similar things, like
yeah.
You know, a simple and kind of elementary example could be circumcision, people thinking like that mm-hmm. is a Jewish custom. No, it's Philistines did that. Like many cultures did that as a sign, and some took flesh from the hands, from the sure. arms to show involvement in a group. So I think as Christians, when we don't allow for a thought or we don't allow for critical thinking, we can just kind of say like, oh, this is all just unique to Christianity, and we can actually not know how to explain mm. some of those, because I don't think we're saying that this narrative is only through Jesus, but what we're saying is unique is the fact that he has died for the sins of man, a gift that has been given to us, and it is sacrificial love, and like you said earlier, that's what defines and changes the narrative, is that this Horus isn't alive today yeah. forgiving sins and giving freedom yeah. and hope and indwelling us as people, giving us this amazing gift of salvation that's not similar.
Yeah. And the amazing thing, too, is I use that example because when you actually dig into, like, historical research, most of that stuff is not true.
Sure.
So when you read the you know, the legend of Horus, his mother's name was Isis, which is kind of funny. And he had a father. His father's name was Osiris. And the story of Horus's birth is that his father, Osiris, was in a fight and was killed and chopped up, and his mother hovered over the chopped up phallus and became pregnant. I mean, that's a stretch to say, sure, like, that's a virgin birth, exactly like Jesus is.
Grave soaking.
No, well, yeah. And to say that, like, oh, Horus was born on December 25th. Jesus wasn't born on December 25th. Sure. Like, most Christians would go, yeah, in the 4th century, there was a pope that said, we're going to take over this holiday. This is Jesus' birthday now. Mm. But most people think that he was probably born in September or October. So to go like, Horus was born on December 25th, who cares? Yeah. Three kings followed a star. The Bible never says they were kings, and they never says there was three of them. So you're going to go, okay, cool, that... So that's not a similarity at all.
They were probably actually pretty evil dudes. I mean,
yeah, there's no evidence in Egyptian literature that Horus was a child teacher. There's no evidence that he was actually baptized by a guy named Anup. And Horus in their writings doesn't die at all. He never was crucified. So it's interesting. And I looked up into some research. A guy named Gerald Massey wrote a book trying to discredit Jesus and saying, look at all these similarities. And scholars called him out on it, said, where did you read this? And he said, the Book of the Dead. It's an ancient Egyptian. And scholars read the Book of the Dead and said, yo, buddy, there's nothing like this in here. And then he said, well, I don't remember where I read it. So you kind of go, interesting. Sure. All you have to do is do a tiny bit of digging in and you go, there's not that many similarities. And even if there were, you kind of go, there's lots of parallels between all sorts of people. That doesn't mean that it's necessarily made up. I'm going to give you guys one. This is another book.
Well, can I just share one right off the, like, just as thinking, and it would push back and maybe be offensive to Christians today, but I would say that Jesus wasn't the only smart 12-year-old temple talking, just because of the way Jewish kids were raised.
Oh, yeah.
That the smartest ones would become rabbis. So to say that Jesus... To think in your mind that he was the smartest and look at him 12.
He was the
okay. There's probably several, and they would grow to be rabbis. And Jesus was one of many rabbis in that way.
Yeah,
the humanists.
Yeah,
sorry if that bothers you.
Yeah, well, there's a guy named Craig Evans, and he talks about what he calls parallelomania, where authors perceive similarities between events or people and then construct parallels with no attention to cultural context or historical awareness, but we're obsessed with, like, oh, do you see all these similarities? And he's like,
conspiracy
he's
theorists.
Like, guys, calm down. So he gives an example. He says, do you know how many similarities are between Abraham Lincoln and John F. Kennedy? He says both men are elected to Congress in 1846 and 1946. Lincoln was elected president in 1860, Kennedy in 1960. Both were killed on a Friday before a major holiday. Both were shot in the presence of their wives and another couple. Both were shot from behind in the head. So you kind of go, whoa, this is this is getting weird. Lincoln was shot in Ford's Theater. That's what it was called, in Box 7.
And JFK was shot in a Ford.
Yep, in Car 7.
Yeah.
So people start, you know, you can put this stuff together. Both were pronounced dead at a location with the initials PH, Peterson House, Parkland Hospital.
What a coinky dink.
Both men were succeeded by a man named Johnson, Andrew Johnson in 1808, Lyndon Johnson in 1908. Both assassins were privates in the military. John Wilkes Booth was born in 1839. Lee Harvey Oswald was born in 1939. And he goes on and on and on. And he says, who cares?
Sure.
He says, no one looking at those similarities would go, Abraham Lincoln was made up. No.
Right.
There's just similarities, right? And it's like, who cares that all of those similarities exist? So you go, okay, sure. Are there similarities between Jesus and the story of Horus or Mithras or Dionysus? Okay. And he's arguing, like, who cares? There's similarities between all sorts of people in the world. Right. That doesn't disprove, you know, that Jesus never existed, or, right? They're just similarities. So I think sometimes we hear stuff like that, and we go, oh my gosh, Horus was born of a virgin? Like, that was the theory? Oh my goodness, Christianity's not true. And it's like, well,
I think that's where critical thinking comes in. Because if everything that you hear causes you to like, oh my goodness, wait, what? I didn't know that. Oh, and you just start fluctuating. Well, look into it. Take a look. Because most Christian scholars, most scholars in general would believe that Jesus of Nazareth was a person.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's how we believe and what we believe of Jesus that changes and makes those distinctions, right? So most scholars would believe that there's people from Egypt or large stories like Horus and stuff, but it's where you go with that. And it doesn't take much digging to find truth.
So I think for someone asking, like, I think we need to, and I just keep thinking back to this person, like if they were sitting with us at, you know, Whole Wheat and Honey saying like, it just doesn't make sense to not take offense and to be like, yeah, some, like, I'm not sure, but like, but to have an honest conversation saying like, well, I'm not sure, but like, I'll go do some poking around. Let's meet again. Right.
Yeah,
like
totally.
It doesn't discount your faith or discount the, you know, the trueness of God to say that I'm not sure how to answer that. You start making things up, you're going to look like a fool. They're going to think that, okay, you're just another one that doesn't know or, you know, And I think that's fair that, you know, sometimes we can give this perception that we don't actually know what we believe because we can't articulate it well. And I think it's okay to say, I'm not sure how to explain.
Yeah.
But it makes me think of our just Fort St. John within the Christian body, how there are a lot of individuals who probably church hop or not really sure where to land. And I know that when we moved to Fort St. John, and I've shared before, we left a church that we were with for a long time, and we did go to a couple, and they were fine in some ways, and we were challenged too because we had come to North Peace MB early also, and there were elements of each church that, man, if we could make like a super church, that'd be cool, yeah, right? Totally. Then, like, you know, that child ministry, you know, that worship, but that is so self-serving and wrong that we had like that. We obviously we landed here because we appreciated the teaching and the fact that, you know, your style was to go through scripture and not leave out, not jump, not parachute. You know, but 4 years ago there were things that could be that were a little different. Even I just remember Tanya was here one day and they're like, man, we're singing like Joy, Unending Joy. And like, it looked like parts of the worship team were like having the worst week ever, right? And it was just one of those things where we just laughed about it. It's like, okay, like
it's rising in my soul. Yeah, I hear you.
And it was just one of those like, okay, we have, it's not about us though, right? Yeah. It's worship to God. And so I just pray that for folks who are searching that they are able to look past that and to not surrender good teaching for a comfortable atmosphere.
Because
I think that it's there are, you know, seeker friendly environments that maybe don't cater to the needs of the heart and soul, but rather just the experience.
Yeah.
So let's talk about then like different, you know, we said we want to talk about different religions, and then let's talk about the umbrella of Christianity then. But just to finish up that, you know, different religion, I'd say probably all of us would say that we believe that Christianity is true, and it's not, like I said earlier, that we're just kind of like crossing our fingers. Man, I hope. Yeah. And that's faith. No, faith is actually trust based on a certain amount of evidence. Right. So I believe that Christianity is true because, yes, there's an element of faith, right? And the Holy Spirit has done that in my life. But I also look at history and I look at the evidence and I go, yeah, this seems like very true, right? You look at the account of Jesus, and like you said, no scholar today argues that Jesus didn't exist because they would be laughed at. Mm-hmm. Historically, it's proven that Jesus of Nazareth, like you said, was a real person. And then you talk about 1 Corinthians 15 and that Jesus appeared to Peter, then the 12, then 500 people at one time after he was raised from the dead. And Paul says, most of whom are still alive, meaning go ask them. Mm-hmm. They saw Jesus alive. And you never hear of 500 people hallucinating the same thing at the same time. So that's impossible.
Yeah.
And then you look at the four Gospels that were written all within 60-ish years from eyewitnesses who saw Jesus, and on and on and on. So faith is looking at evidence, and then there is this point where you go, we don't know for sure, but look at the evidence, and now I'm going to put my faith in that. So that's, yes, we would agree that that's like... Well,
no, and then you read of, okay, I'm going to send a helper, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to do this, and then we think back to our own lives. We're like, man, I experienced that.
Yeah.
That truth I read about happened in my life.
Yeah.
And so then you become a witness to that.
And I think that there needs to be a line where you're not chasing just experience, right? Because there will be times where that you don't feel like you're experiencing it. But to be able to look back, like you said, and say, yes, I have seen God do this for myself. I know that to be true, right? That's not just an inner feeling. That's not just a holy hoping for the best. If there is evidence of that happening, I think anybody who has gone from living in sin to turning to Christ and repenting of sin, there will be a difference there. That is physical evidence that the Holy Spirit exists, even though we can't physically see the Holy Spirit.
It's just the remembering and the witness of the moment that we cross from hopelessness to having eternal hope.
Yeah.
And that is not an experience you chase. That's like, that's when it happened.
Yeah.
And you're just remembering that historical moment in your life where I found hope.
Yeah.
So then you get to, like you said, so this person drives into Fort St. John and there's a Mennonite church, there's a Baptist church, there's some Pentecostal churches, there's a Lutheran, there's an Anglican.
Catholic.
There's a Catholic. There's Jehovah's Witnesses. There's a Mormon temple. Like, so you go, what's the difference between all of, and is it, like, right, can I just spin the wheel and pick a church and go to it? Are they all the same? Or are they, so that's a... How much time you guys got?
part two, or?
Yeah, well, I think, I mean, we could, because I don't know how long we've been going, but that's a really good question. Maybe we should leave it for next week.
So let's do
tune
that.
Tune in next week.
Let's.
Because I don't want to just, like, brush over it and be like, sure. Yeah, choose the MB.
So let's decide to not worry of offense and actually catalog and go through the options in Fort St. John,
the different beliefs,
and offer that as people who are friends with many of those leaders. I mean, we all land where we land, and in, you know, with the ministerial, like there's waves, there's beliefs, there's feelings, but I mean, they're still friendly, you know,
I mean?
Because we just choose to land where we land. So
so tune.
We'll
back.
Unpack that a bit.
Yeah, we'll do part two.
Then we'll send it to all of them.
Take a listen and repent. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But we will unpack because, I think it's good because there's all these different denominations. And even I would say, you know, Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons who say, yep, we're Christians. Come to our church. And you go, how do you discern and are there certain ones that are like, yep, there's enough that we could say, yeah, I can go there or I can go there. They're both worshiping Jesus, or are there some that you go, yikes, I think we're kind of out of bounds here. So tune in next week. We have a clip that we want to, I should play
the intros.
Yes. Cause I didn't have a context verse thing picked, but we're going to play
The Podcast Cast React.
The Podcast Cast React. So, this is a little segment that we do where one of us will bring a clip of either, I think we focus on bad teaching because it's just much more entertaining.
I think we've had one good one.
Yeah. This is where we look at a clip of a sermon or a teaching or something like that, and then we react to it and provide some commentary on it. So today we're going to go down south. And we're going to hear from the wife of our good buddy, Joel Osteen. Grab your Bibles. This is my Bible. It is it is what it says it is. And do you know that he does that every Sunday? You've never heard that?
No.
Yeah, every time he comes up to preach, he says, "All right, grab your Bible. Repeat after me. This is my Bible." And then the crowd, "This is my Bible. It says who I am."
And he goes,
and he goes through it. And every Sunday he does that, right? "And now put them away because you're not going to need them." No, I'm just kidding. "Go ahead and put it under your seat. All right. Grab my book, The Power of I Am." Okay, I got to stop. So here is Victoria Osteen. And I believe this wasn't a sermon, because I've watched the whole the bigger clip. This is about a minute. I believe that she was kind of like either, was it at the starting the service?
The cheer section, yeah. And right before the tithe.
Right before. Right before. I better hear that coin hit the plate. All right, here we go. So let's stop.
What's wrong with your voice?
I can't stop. All right, here we go.
God just want to encourage every one of us to realize when we obey God, we're not doing it for God. I mean, that's one way to look at it. We're doing it for ourselves. Because God takes pleasure when we're happy. That's the thing that gives him the greatest joy this morning. So I want you to know this morning, just do good for your own self. Do good because God wants you to be happy. When you come to church, when you worship him, you're not doing it for God, really. You're doing it for yourself. Because that's what makes God happy. Amen. Let's open our heart to him today. Father.
What you...
Oh, man.
Oh, gosh.
Tell Molly I'll give her $100 if she does that.
Hey, guys. Welcome to North Peace. So, first of all, man, oh, man. Oh. You just... go, what are you talking about?
When we obey God, we're not doing it for him.
Yeah, I mean, that's one way to look at it, to go like, yeah, I'm obeying God because I want to obey God and please him. That's one way to look at it. But really, you're doing it for yourself. Man, I don't know. Thoughts, guys? Is that, well, first we should actually respond to those claims that she just made. Like, when I come and I worship God, I'm doing it for myself.
To be happy so that God's happy.
Because she God's says, because God wants us to be happy, so I obey for myself to be happy, and in a sense, then I'm pleasing God. So what's wrong with that?
Some of those lines could have been used from an Old Testament prophet when they're yelling at the Israelites saying, "You're not doing it for God, you're doing it for yourselves." as a way to chastise, right? Not as a way to encourage.
Very good point.
In some weird way. I think I can grasp a tiny bit of where her mind might have been going. It could have been Mimosa Monday or something, but the idea, and I think we shared before, like you go to a worship night and you're going to give God worship and you walk out of there thinking like, man, I've been given this gift, but I've walked in there with the spirit of wanting to worship Jesus.
Yeah.
And this amazing thing happens where you leave feeling refreshed and like you've been,
totally.
Like something great has happened to you. But to walk in with that mindset, like I'm going to go and receive.
Yeah.
It's common language in church and it's really damaging. Like, come ready to receive. It's like, wait a minute, come ready to give.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the consumer, like you mentioned it, right? I'm going to go to a church to find where all my needs are met and where I can consume. And then if I don't like certain aspects, well, I'll just go find another church where I can consume. And then so, like, she's just feeding right into that. When you come and you obey God and you worship him, it's all about you. Right. So, like, yeah, sure. I mean, we're worshiping God and we're singing to him.
That's one way to look
at it.
That's one way to look at it. But, like, you're here for yourself, really. So it's basically like, hey, you know how everyone's selfish and we're all consumers? Let's lean into that a little bit. It's like, man, no, yeah. You want... Like Christianity is like, you should probably die to yourself and not think about your own needs and your wants. Pick up your cross, follow me, Jesus says, and you're going to do it for my glory. Like, it's just so, like I said, like, yeah, you can get the mindset. Sure. When you obey Jesus, is your life better?
It could be.
It could be.
Sure.
But you could obey Jesus and end up in jail or beheaded. So it's, you can't just say like, but is that better still? Yeah.
It's actually your life improves through the process of sanctification because you generally make better decisions.
Sure.
And I love those signs that say everything happens for a reason, and usually it's because you make bad decisions and you're, yeah. and you're stupid. You're stupid and you make bad choices. Everything happens for a reason.
Yeah, I tried to blow up some steam after work and got drunk and then drove home, and then I got arrested and got a DUI. But hey, man, everything happens for a reason. That's no, right. You made some really bad choices. Yeah.
But I think that's honestly where you see life improve. By following Jesus, it's you tend to be a little more conscious in your decisions. And,
sure.
And you... Mm-hmm. When you're not living for yourself and you're living to please, to essentially please, you just tend to make better yeah. life choices, mm-hmm. and whether it's financial, and then you see benefit from those better choices.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. If you're in the sub-Saharan Africa, like you're probably yeah. still going to be poor.
Yeah. And motivation matters. Like we've talked about that. Lots when we went through Matthew, we went through my problems. It's not just like, don't think that God is like fooled by, sure, I'll obey God because it benefits me. No, your motivation, your heart behind yeah. why you do things. Sometimes in scripture, it sounds like it's more important than actually doing things.
Right.
Like yeah. the Pharisees, yeah, they obeyed perfectly, but their motivation was power. And right, all of these things, yeah. and God said, and Jesus says to them,
"Call them out eternally."
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You guys are dead inside. So your motivation in obeying Jesus sometimes is even more important than obeying Jesus. Like I think God would much rather someone who says, "My heart's desire is to obey Jesus, and I keep messing up," rather than someone's like, "I'm obeying perfectly and it's benefiting me." Sure. He would be like, "No." Yeah. So yeah. motivation is so important in following Jesus and obeying Him and.
Yeah, and sorry if the clip was a little fuzzy for you. Corlin did mention that there was not a good quality clip.
They've actually removed that, and so I think that was someone
filming
their TV.
Yeah.
So sorry if it kind of came through a little tinny or whatever
they
it was.
They must have sensed something was wrong with what she said.
Yeah, I think they pulled it down from their website, and Joel's like, honey buns.
Save it for the book.
Save it for the book. Oh,
that's gosh. That's too gold for TV.
So anyways... thanks for tuning in. Episode 50, the year of Jubilee. Great episode. Two more, and we've been doing this for a year, technically, even though it's been much longer
than
a
year's worth of episodes?
A year's worth of episodes. Yes, 52. So, yeah, please like and subscribe wherever you're listening to. I guess we're not on YouTube right now, but we could start filming again. And make sure you share this with people who you might who you think might enjoy it, and tune in next week because we will unpack part 2 of the religion denomination question. So thanks for tuning in.